And there's nothing greater than the foundation of God's love. You know, we are grateful to have His Word. We are grateful that God has loved us so much that He gave us His only Son. But we have with us not only His Holy Spirit in us, His Holy Son who died for us, but we have His Holy Scripture that we can look at and learn from and read and hear Him speak to us on a daily basis. And I pray that that's something you're doing, is spending time in God's Word every single day. It reminds me of the fact that there are people all over this world who are literally dying because they don't have any food to eat. And yet it's almost like how ridiculous it would be for them to have a complete kitchen full of food and then for them to never go into the kitchen and get any when it's right there. For us spiritually, it's our spiritual food. God has given us His Word. And in His Word, He's given us beautiful pictures of who He is. This morning, we're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I entitled today's message, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Now, some of y'all may liken that to a title of a song. But the fact is this, love's got everything to do with what God does. God's love is the motivation for Him to do everything He's done for us. And we're going to take a look at that love this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and could fathom all the mysteries and knowledge, if I had faith that could move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there's prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Father, help us to understand that this morning. Help us to understand what this word love really means for us. And what it means coming from You. Help us, Lord, today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have today's outline, I want you to follow along with me. And I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the power of love. What has love got to do with it? It is God's power that He gives us by His Holy Spirit to love like He loves. Now, I can tell you something, folks. I don't have that kind of love in and of myself that God has. I can't love people like God loves them. But He's commanded me to do so. So how am I going to do that? I can only love them with God's love. God's kind of love. My kind of love is faulty. It fails. It messes up. It stops short. It does everything that it's not supposed to do. Which we'll look at some of those things. But God's kind of love is the love that is so powerful that it reaches into a person and shows them how awesome they are. Now, God's love, the Scripture says, now lives within us. He has given of us His Spirit. And in His Spirit, we have love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says it like this: "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you have God in your heart, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have the same exact love of God in you. Now, I think we could all be honest enough to say, there are people that I know that just rub me the wrong way. Right? They're just obnoxious, or they're always talking about themselves, or you know, whatever it is. We can all think of people that stand out in our mind that we honestly would rather not be around. And to love them with God's kind of love, from our perspective, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And it's because of God put His Holy Spirit in us, and the love of God now dwells within us, we can love them just like God loves them. How's that? Well, the same way God loves me. Because although I think I'm a pretty decent person, a lot of people might think, oh no, I can tell you a lot of things about you I don't really like. Right? But see, God doesn't see me anymore. He sees me through the blood of Jesus. And His love for me is perfect. Since the Holy Spirit is in you, so is the love of God. In fact, 1 John says it like this. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now you might think, well, what does that mean? God is love. What does it mean that God is this word that we use for so many different things? And that's why it's important to understand the kind of love that it's talking about here. Agape. It's a love that says, I love you, period. I don't love you conditionally. I don't love you because you're something, or if you'll do something for me, or whatever else the kind of love we tend to have. You know, I'll love you if you're nice to me. I love you if you'll go to the movie with me. I love you if you'll cook me supper. I love you if... I love you because you're beautiful. I love you... We think of all these things and we use the word love for it. That's not the kind of love it's talking about here. It's talking about the kind of love that God says, I just love you, period. And if you're nice to me, I still love you. If you're hateful to me, I still love you. If you don't obey me, I still love you. I just love you. You know why God can do that? Because God is love. Period. The power of love is that God has now put His love in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. It's not only in us, now we can start loving, allowing Him to love through us. We become conduit that God's love can pour through in our lives. You know what conduit is? It's that pipe that you run other stuff through. You know, you need to run a wire. We got a conduit going under the slab here. There's wires, electrical wires that go down all the way to the back. God is saying, I want to pour out my love to everyone through you. His love is working in us and it's displayed to one another. That's the greatest testimony that we have to a lost world. When they see the love of God in you and in me. Now we can tell them about our testimony, we should. We can tell them how we came to know Christ, and we should. But the greatest communication that we can have with other people is for them to see the love of God in our lives. John chapter 13, verse 35 says it like this. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. How? That you shared Christ with them? That you go to church? That you say that you're a Christian? That you carry your Bible with you? No. They'll know you're my disciples if you love one another. Because love is of God. True love is of God. His love is dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit. His love is working through us by His power. I love this passage in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says it like this. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save.
He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Man, I tell you, that's exciting to me. That God He loves me so much that He's rejoicing over me with singing. I can't wait till I can physically hear Him sing. You know, I like hear, you know, just like most of you like to hear good singing, right? I like to hear good singing. Sometimes I get to hear that. But someday, I'll get to hear Him sing. Oh my goodness, all the good singing I've ever heard is going to pale in comparison. God is singing over you. His love is in us. His love is through us. And His, the Scripture says, His love is over us. When we walk in love for one another, we are walking in obedience to the Lord. The Scripture tells us we are to love one another like that. John chapter 13, verse 34 says it like this. A new command, Jesus says, I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, how did Jesus love you? Completely. Completely. Absolutely. Even unto death, He loves you. And through death, He loved you. And through the resurrection, He loved you. And guess what? He still loves you. We all need that kind of love. And it is the foundation that we ought to be building our relationship with God on and with other people on. That relationship and that foundation of love itself. That's the power of love. Love, God's love, can do all things. Secondly, I want you to see this picture of love. Now, Paul lines this out for us by giving us some examples of what this kind of love looks like. I'm a visual learner. Some people, they can hear something and go, oh yeah, I get it. I have to hear it and see it. You know, my granddad used to tell me, son, I want you to go out in the middle pasture and I want you to do this and this and this. And I'll go, huh? And then he'd take out a piece of paper and say, the middle pasture? I want you to go out there and do this. Oh, I got it. You know, once I could see it, I got it. I think for all of us, we need to see this picture of love. See this picture so that we can then put it into practice. So Paul says, first of all, that love is patient. The Greek word here is makrothumio, which means to persevere. In other words, if you say you love someone, or if you truly do love someone, that love will persevere. It won't be stopped by something somebody's done to you or said to you or how they've acted towards you. You will still love them no matter what, just like God's love. The picture that this word makrothumio gives is like a long distance runner. The good ones start out constant and they seem to get stronger the farther that they go. Now, I grew up in high school in a place called Post, Texas. Anybody know where that is? Nobody cares, right? Okay, so anyway. Anybody know where Lubbock is? Okay, you know where Lubbock is. If you head southeast of Lubbock, you'll come to a place that is called the Cap Rock, and it drops off, and there's Post. We're in the drop-off area. All the sand on the Cap Rock comes down into Post. I mean, you sweep in your porch every day. It's just sand everywhere. So I went to high school in Post, and there was this guy that was 2 years younger than me. He loved to run. I mean, he literally loved it. He was crazy. He loved to run. I don't know what was with this guy, but he would get up every morning, and he would run from his house all the way up to the top of the Cap Rock, which was 3.5 miles from his house, uphill. He would run up to the top of the Cap Rock and then back down to his house, get ready, go to school. And then after school, he'd do the same thing every single day. And I would go, man, why do you do that? He said, I love running. And I want to be the best at running. And his senior year, he won state in long distance running, in the mile and also in the
what was the next one up? I can't remember what it's called them. But anyway, he won state. And it's because he loved running. He loved getting out there and challenging himself. And he'd do it, but he wouldn't stop. You know, every once in a while I'd get up and I'd say, "Hey, Mark, I'm going to run with you this morning." About halfway up the cap rock, I'd stop. I said, "I'll catch you on your way down." Then I'd turn around and start running. He'd already passed me. You know, he would just persevere, just continue to go. That's what this word's talking about. Patient love means I will stay with it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep loving no matter what. This word means patient endurance under provocation or provocation. In other words, even when somebody provokes you, they get under your skin. They get to this point where you're going like, "Man, I can't stand being around this. I can't stand listening to this." You still love, no matter what. See, I believe there's times that we provoke God by the way we don't listen to Him or don't do the things we ought to do or whatever it might be, but God still loves me. And He's going to keep loving me. He's not going to stop loving me. Patient endurance under provocation. When things are tough, just keep loving no matter what. There was a story, a true story of Abraham Lincoln's most outspoken political enemy. His name was Edward J. Stanton. Now, Stanton called Lincoln many names, and in the newspapers, they would come out with these critical remarks that Stanton would write. He called him once a low, cunning clown. He once called him the original gorilla. He even said this: "It's ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see gorillas when they could easily find one in Springfield, Illinois." So to Lincoln's credit, he never responded to these insults. Yet when he was elected president, Lincoln chose Stanton to be his Secretary of War. When asked why, Lincoln said, "Because he's the best man." Later, when Lincoln had been assassinated, Stanton stood by the coffin which contained Lincoln's body and said through his tears, "There lies the greatest ruler of men this world has ever seen." Lincoln's patient love in action won this man over. Isn't that interesting? Because Lincoln just said, "I'm going to love him no matter what. If he cuts me down, I'm still going to love him. If he says unkind things about me, I'm going to love him." And he did. Love is patient. Paul says love is also kind. The Greek word here is eidos, which means to be good to others no matter how they treat you. We don't love because we are loved. We just love. Genuine love is never hateful or mean. Now you think about it, folks. If you're hateful or mean to someone, it's not generated out of love. God loves us like this, no matter how we've treated Him or turned our back on Him or don't listen to Him or go our own way or act like we don't know what He said to us. Have you ever responded to somebody by saying, "Well, I didn't know that"? But you know that you knew that, and they know that you knew that. Right? I see some people punching each other in here. See, God loves us no matter what. Even though we act like we don't know, He still loves us. It's a love that will never give up on us. It's never hateful. It's never mean. No matter what, how we've treated Him or somebody else. It's a kind love. Thirdly, it's a love that does not envy, the Scripture says. Love does not envy. The Greek word here is zeleo, which means that we want something from someone else. So we act like we love somebody so that we can get something from them. But love is not, real love is not like that. Genuine love puts the other person first and desires the best for them, no matter what. And so the desire is to help and not to get something for yourself. Paul says that's the kind of love that God's love is. God doesn't love us so that He can get something out of us. God loves us, period. And what happens in us then is up to how we respond to Him and to His love. Love is pleased when others succeed. If you have difficulty seeing other people succeeding, thinking that they're getting ahead of you or something else, then that's not love. Paul says, this kind of love also does not boast. It's interesting, the Greek word used here is kaphchima, which means to brag or draw attention to yourself. To boast means I am bragging or I'm saying things that I did this or I want this or whatever it is. The opposite means that you put others first and put yourself last. That's the kind of love God had for us, by the way. I mean, God deserves everything. All of our love, all of our worship, all of our thoughts ought to be on God Himself. But God says, no, I'm going to put myself last. I'm going to even send my Son to die upon the cross for your sins. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 says it like this. It not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Jesus said, listen, if you want to have the love of God, you got to learn how to serve rather than to be served. You got to put others before yourself. And so boasting is the opposite of that. It's saying, no, I'm important. You need to follow me. You need to help me. You need to this. It's all about me. That's not love. The love of God does not do that. Paul goes on to say, it's love that is not dishonoring. In other words, it will not be self-seeking, easily angered. It won't seek self. It's not rude. It's not ones who lift ourselves up by putting others down. How many times do you try to make yourself look good at someone else's expense? That's the opposite of love. God says, if you're going to love with my kind of love, this don't dishonor me by dishonoring others. Then Paul says, it's not a love that's easily angered. The word here refers to a person who has a short fuse, who is quick to become angry. Real love is patient and forbearing. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says it like this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you ever feel like you just want to snap somebody's... You know, just want to pop somebody in the head or something, you know, thump somebody in the back. They get to you. But that's not real love is patient and able to walk alongside. Forbearing literally means to walk alongside and help them carry their burden. You know, one of the reasons most people act the way they do is because they're so burdened down by the things in their heart. And so instead of wanting to understand that and walk alongside of them and help them, we tend to push them away or look down at them or become easily angry towards them. Look at what James says in chapter 1. I always love the book of James because he just comes out and says things like they really are. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, stop and think about that for just a moment. What do we typically do? We should be quick to listen, but we're usually the last ones to listen. And we become quick to speak and quick to become angry. Right? Amen or oh me, right? That's the tendency that we have because that's our natural tendency. That's our sinful nature. But James says, wait a minute, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. What would happen if we started loving like that and not becoming easily angered? Stephen Olford tells of a Baptist pastor during the American Revolution. This true story, his name was Peter Miller. He lived in Epaphra, Pennsylvania. and he enjoyed the friendship of George Washington. There in his town also lived another man named Michael Whitman, an evil-minded sort who did all he could do to oppose and humiliate this pastor. One day, Michael Whitman was arrested for treason, and he was sentenced to die. Peter Miller traveled 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead for the life of this traitor. General Washington said, "No, Peter, I cannot grant you the life of your friend." "My friend," exclaimed the old preacher, "he's the bitterest enemy I have." "What?" cried Washington. "You walk 70 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts the matter in a different light. I'll grant your pardon." And he did. And Peter Miller took Michael Whitman back home to Paphtra, no longer an enemy but a friend. What a difference it makes when we love people no matter what. We don't become angry in the way that they've treated us, but we love them like God loves them, no matter what. Can you imagine God looking down upon this earth and seeing people that He created treat His own Son like they treated Him? If God was like us, the anger would have fallen, and we'd be no more. But God so loved the world, He demonstrated His love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then Paul goes on to say, love is forgiving. It keeps no records of wrongs. Keeping a record of wrong means I haven't forgiven you. You see, forgiveness means I've not only taken away the punishment for it, but I don't bring it up anymore. Because if I've forgiven you, it's gone. There's so many people who are living with an unforgiving heart towards other people. They just can't forgive somebody for what they did. They can't do it because they don't love like God loves. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold these records against us? Aren't you glad God doesn't look at you and say, "Yeah, I know you came to the cross, you received Jesus as your Savior, but I just can't forgive you for what you've done." He forgives us because of His great love and because we are covered with the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins and we are atoned for. A love that is forgiving. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. "For I will forgive their wickedness. I will remember their sins." When? No more. No more. Ever. Period. That's it. Psalm 103, verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." God says, "I forgive you," period. Why? Because I love you, period. Then that's the kind of love I want you to have for one another. And if you keep up bringing stuff up, you're not loving like I love. Aren't you glad that every time you mess up, God doesn't come back and say, "See, I knew you didn't mean it when you confessed that sin. I knew you would never do this." Doesn't do that. He just loves us. Then Paul says, now real love rejoices with truth. You see, God is truth, and in Him there is no darkness, the Scripture tells us. When God moves into your life, He brings with Him the Spirit of truth. And so love is truthful. You know what? Sometimes when we love, it's hard to say the truth because we don't want to say the truth. Right? Because it's a lot easier to manipulate your words and make it sound different. But the truthful words, the Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. Sometimes we just need to speak the truth. In love. John chapter 16, verse 13 says it like this. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into what? All truth. The love that God gives us will help us speak the truth in love. And that means even to those who don't believe the truth, we can still speak the truth in love. So that God can share it with them through us. It keeps no records of wrongs. It speaks the truth. And it's a love, I like it to say it like this, it's a love that's always love. It's steadfast. It's constant. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. Look how many times the word always is used in this passage. It says, it doesn't delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. God's love for us will always be there because God is always there. And that's the kind of love God wants us to have for others. Not love that appears when I feel like it. Not love that's here today and gone tomorrow. Because that's not love. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says this. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. Aren't you glad? For His compassions never fail. And He goes on to say, His mercies are new every morning. Think about it, folks. That's how God loves you. And that's how God says He wants us to love one another. There's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. He says in verse 8, love never fails. You know what that means? It means it never fails. God's kind of love never fails. God modeled this for us in Jesus. Everything that God does is motivated by His great love for us. God so loved you that He gave. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Proctor of England, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. The execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. However, the bell did not sound. The soldier's fiancée had climbed up into the belfry and grabbed hold of the great clapper of the bell to prevent it from striking. When she was summoned by Cromwell to account for her actions, she wept as she showed him her bruised and bleeding hands. Cromwell's heart was touched and he said, "Your lover shall live because of your sacrifice. The curfew shall not ring tonight because of your love." Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this for us. God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you something, folks. If we say that we could do all kinds of things, but we have not love, we've missed it all. We've missed it all. We don't do church because we're supposed to do church. We don't read the Bible because we're supposed to read the Bible. We don't tell people about Jesus because we're supposed to tell people about Jesus. We do all these things motivated because of the love of God for us. And that same love that is given to us by the Holy Spirit will then compel us in God's love to show love to the people in this world that are unlovable. Do you know anybody this morning that's unlovable? Don't mention their names. Don't look at them. Yeah, of course we do. But they are lovable. God loves them. And He's given you the same love. In and of ourselves, we can't do anything except fail. But in the power of the Spirit of God, we can love all people. those that are lovable and those that aren't. We can love them with the love of God. Do you see people like God sees them? Do you have the eyes of Christ? Do you look past the outer things to the heart and see that every single person deserves to know that God loves them? God loves you. God brought you to a place that you could know His love. He used people in your life to show you His love. I can tell you what, folks. Many of us have been through things in our lives where we thought nobody loves us. Nobody cares about us. But we're here today because we found out that God loves us. And He loves us so much that He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. God loves you. You might think, nobody loves me. God loves you. Because God lives in me, I love you. Will I fail sometimes? Yes. Will you fail to love like God loves sometimes? Yes. But it should never keep us from continuing to try to love like God loves by allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control rather than ourselves. And my encouragement to all of us is that if we will lift Jesus up and the love of God up in this community, He will draw all people to Him because people want to be loved. They want to be loved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? And in this time of quietness for just a moment, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you, first of all, to just take a moment and thank God for His incredible love that never fails. Thank Him for paying an ultimate sacrifice on the cross that covered every one of your sins. Thank you that He loves you so much. Thank Him that He loves you so much that He gave you His Word. And that He gave you His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And now, maybe the hardest part, thank Him for the people that He's put in your life that are unlovable. Because He wants you to love them anyway. No matter how they act, no matter how much they may have hurt you or say all manner of things against you, you are to love them. The Scripture says people will do that. They'll despise you and they'll say all manner of evil against you. But we are to love them no matter what. Maybe God's putting somebody on your heart, on your mind right now. Would you just by name lift them up in prayer right now and ask God to break down those walls that have been built up in your own life and maybe in theirs that would keep you from loving them like God loves you? Maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's bitterness that has built a root in your life that has kept you from being able to even talk to them anymore. But with God's kind of forgiveness and love, all those things need to be taken away. And by God's Holy Spirit, you can be freed again to live in the freedom of love and speak the truth in love. And love them unconditionally. Dear Father, I pray that You will do Your work of love in this place this morning. I pray, Father, that we will not hold back. That we will not close doors in our life. That we will not say that we love, but not love. Lord, I know that this morning You are speaking to our hearts. Because You spoke to mine. And your Holy Spirit is desiring for us, Father, to love like you've loved us. There is no greater love than a person would lay down their life for someone else. And that's what you did for us. Lord, there might be someone here this morning who feels unloved. But I pray, Father, that you will tell them in their spirit this morning that you loved them so much that you gave your life for them. And that they would trust you and they would follow you if they have not already done so. Father, help us to love those that are unlovely. Help us, Father, to forgive just as we've been forgiven. Help us, Father, to reach out to people who need to know that they are loved. Help us, Father, I pray it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and begin to sing this hymn of invitation softly and tenderly. As we sing this morning, maybe you're looking for a church home. We'd love to have you if you don't already know that you're a member of a church somewhere and you'd like to be a part of our church. We'd love to have you. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to share with you how you could do that. If you want to just come and kneel at this altar and pray that God would open your heart up more for the love that He has for you to share with other people. Whatever it is that God's saying to you this morning, let's begin to sing. And as we sing, if God has said something to you, would you do what He says? Softly and tenderly.